The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, everybody. On a Friday, the July 30th edition, 2021, good old 710 KNUS. Thanks for being here. 710 KNUS weather, spit it out, Weather Center weather on a Friday. 95 in evening storms, cooler 82 on Saturday and 80 on Sunday. Tomorrow, George Brockler, and then Randy's on the air. Part of tomorrow here on 710 KNUS. I get to say this. Actually, we had two interesting people on the show this morning. Jeff Decker was with us, who was again, one of these historians on culture and motorcycling, and he changed a lot of my thinking. This man is a one of a kind as well. Please say good morning. Welcome back to the radio show from Jihad Watch, Robert Spencer. Mr. Spencer, good morning, and thank you again, and welcome back.
Good to talk to you, Peter, as always. How are you?
You know, I'm okay. I know from other conversations that you were a born, dyed-in-the-wool Red Sox fan, and we talked about you and viewing sports, but here's my, it's kind of a lead-in, but have you seen on the Olympic ratings, and they're down 49%, the All-Star game that was creeped into Denver is the second lowest All-Star game since they began broadcasting it ratings-wise, and the Olympics in Japan, here's my question, have you watched anything, any part of the Olympics this year at all? I've watched a little bit.
No, none. I do have to say I am not now Senator, nor have ever been a Red Sox fan, but I was a big baseball fan. Thing is, though, baseball became so politicized, just like the Olympics, and I have turned it all off. I am living a sports-free life for the first time since I was like 6 years old.
Yeah.
And really, you know, I haven't missed it as much as I thought I might. It's a shame, though. I mean, I think that the All-Star game in Denver, that was absolutely a scandal, that the people in Georgia voted for election integrity. I mean, that the legislature, whatever it was, you know, but just wanting ID for voters. And, of course, the Democrats have been portraying this as if it's some horrible restoration of Jim Crow, because they, in their racist way, think that black Americans apparently can't get ID or don't know how to or something like that. And for this, the All-Star game was moved. So then the precedent has now been set that only people of a certain political persuasion are allowed to be fans of baseball. Well, then I'm gone then. And then, you know, naming the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah. The Guardians.
People, I think it's absolutely absurd, yeah. Peter, that the idea has become rooted now and taken for granted that a sports team name is designed to belittle and demean.
Yeah.
I mean, if that were the case, then why don't they just call it the Cleveland Trump Supporters? Because that would be about the most demeaning name that these woke baseball people could think of.
Oh, God.
You know, it's just absolutely ridiculous. The Cleveland Indians were named for Louis Sokolexis, who was an American Indian, a Native American who was a star for the Cleveland Spiders in 1897, and he was still so remembered in Cleveland and revered that the team was called Indians in 1915. Now, this is an honor, and, you know, you go to Sokolexis.com right now, and you can see how they're saying proudly, the Cleveland Indians were named for our man here, and now it's a terrible insult. And I read that the team has been renamed, and some Native American spokesman says, now we are finally moving toward correcting these great injustices. What injustice? It was an honor. This is stupid. You think that they call teams Lions and Tigers and Bears because they hate Lions, Tigers, and Bears?
Yeah.
It's about being strong and being valorous and noble and all these things that all the team names embody. And so, well, now they've named them after some traffic symbols, some traffic signs, and so I think that's a good symbol of our age, the Cleveland yield signs.
Yeah. Now you know why I hold this man in such great esteem, Robert Spencer from Jihad Watch. When The open ceremony last Friday night, and they got to singing "We Are the World," and which is, you know, it's Karl Marx set to music. But what I got a kick out of was John Legend and Keith Urban singing "Imagine There's No Possessions."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you two guys, right? I don't know. And now, and again, from looking at ratings and having people take it apart, the Titanic of low ratings is women's soccer. And I mean, we talked about it early this morning, but these are people kneeling. I mean, I'm just tired of it, Mr. Spencer. That's just it.
Rapinoe character.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm not a fan. And I think this is a person who looks sour and angry all the time, is decidedly trying to look unappealing with her ridiculous hair. And yes, I'm going to say that. And is held up as some sort of a tremendous role model.
Please.
While she obviously has contempt for the vast majority of people in the country.
Yeah.
And this is what we're supposed to be rooting for. Yeah. You know, these teams that where everybody's kneeling for the anthem as if this is some sort of a terrible, unjust polity. Where do you want to move? Where's better, Megan Rapinoe? Where would you like to live?
And she's now.
Where's the just society that you envision?
She's now with Victoria's Secret. We had a guy on earlier with the Western Journal. He said, nothing quite says Victoria's Secret like her.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That was funny.
It's just part of the absurdity of the age.
Well, yeah, and Colorado, by the way, has stricter rules on voting than Georgia. And yet, I mean, I'll tell you what, that was Mr. Spencer, that was such a swindle, and there was a bunch of stuff that swirled around it, but it was what it was. And I brought this up as well this morning, the Today Show has cratered to a 30-year low. No one is watching the NBA, and some guy did a great line. He called the NBA players, he said, they're basically agents of the Chinese government. I thought, what a great line.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they really are.
It's absolutely true.
Yeah, it's true. And of course it is.
I remember when they asked LeBron James to say something about the slave conditions of the workers in China.
Wouldn't do it.
And he wouldn't do anything. He knows he's signing his check.
So you watch all this stuff, and the only hope I get out of it is that I hope these are indicators that people have really had enough of this crap. But we will see. Also, we've talked about it earlier.
Well, you know, Peter, I'm sorry, but I got to say, they're counting on us needing them more than they need us. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're counting the commissioner of baseball, this odious Rob Manfred.
He's a joke, yeah.
He's counting on people having to have baseball. He's the NFL guy, whoever that is. He's doing the same thing, and the NBA as well. They are counting on ordinary patriotic Americans thinking, well, yes, they're nuts and they're woke and they're hate filled, but I love the sport.
Sure.
I've got to watch it. And you know, I know guys. I know people. I was a baseball fan for nearly 50 years, and I know people who are still watching, even though they deplore all this as much as I do. And the thing is that we got to turn it off. And they're counting on us not turning it off.
But, you know, the indicators are here. I mean, the Nielsen's are pretty solid. And you got to believe, and the same thing is true with the NFL, is not going to start with the other national anthem now. And, you know, my grandson loves sports. And so I will watch if he's with me. But other than that, I am so done with any of this. And again, reflecting things like down 49% in ratings, NBC, yeah. I mean, this is a huge hit on NBC. And the other part of it are these woke corporate heads. And whether it's the NBA playoffs or the NBA in general, the NFL, now there's some highlights. But when you're down 49% over the last time period, if you're in radio, you're looking for a job. And they have these
monopolies, you know.
Well,
I mean, that's one thing. It would be nice if we had anybody in Congress, which of course we don't. This would be a great time to strip baseball of its antitrust exemption. And wouldn't it be nice if we could see some non-woke leagues?
Oh, there are.
Where you have, you know, American leagues, not the American League, but you know what I mean.
No,
American
Patriot
leagues.
Sure.
Of baseball, football, and basketball, where the players are not beholden to China and are not out there grandstanding and making these ridiculous political statements.
But
that's what we need.
You know, but they are within themselves are their own demise, because the point will come.
Yeah.
The point will come, and you know, other sports have been important in our culture or other cultures that don't exist anymore. And again, I always get back to that point. You haven't read history. You don't know what you're talking about. So you think you can pull this stunt. That's fine. But there's plenty of people, you know, working men and women go, no, what you are selling, I don't want to buy. And that's what ratings are about.
Yeah. And baseball especially. I love baseball. Oh. I've always loved baseball. But they should see the writing on the wall that there are all these players who are not Americans more and more in the major leagues. And people misunderstand me when I say this because, you know, I was talking to a guy once and I said, isn't it a shame there are fewer and fewer people who are Americans who are playing Major League Baseball? And he looked at me like, oh, you must be some kind of racist something.
Sure.
What, you're not like Venezuelans or Japanese or something? This is not the point. The point is that American kids are not playing baseball. And they are gradually losing their pool of talent. And they can keep on bringing in guys from the Dominican Republic for a while, but it's ultimately going to dry up there as well.
And again, it's, you know, we are in the business of, we collectively broadcasting, radio, television, we're in the audience gathering business. And when I get to teach or talk to people that don't understand what we do for a living, we are in an audience gathering business. And I know I worked at KOA, which is the flagship, the voice of the Denver Broncos. And I know if the Broncos, and there's a lot of politics right now, but the KOA has to buy the rights to carry the games, as does NBC. NBC bought the rights to these Olympics. I don't know what they paid, but I'll tell you what, they're in the hole now. So they turn around and they go to these big corporates and they sell it. And these guys, these corporate geeks are looking at ratings in return, and it's not there. And then they come for free ones. That's exactly what they do. You owe me, and you told me, and they buy in group packages. I mean, there's a lot of science to this and a lot of mathematics to it. And, you know, now in these ratings, and I know you know this, Mr. Spencer, they know who you are. But are they smart enough? Are they afraid? And I was talking earlier.
Like I say, they're counting on us not to turn it off.
You may be right.
They're assuming we're not going to go away. We're going to need them too much.
Or they, at public education today, and this is how bizarre I am, with 1619 and all the different ways that they want to teach kids like my grandson and all these other kids, that they'll be perfectly conditioned to watch that when the games continue and players do what players are doing now, that if you take another generation of kids. I mean, I see things, you know, I see the long game, the long march. And I know, big deal, I know, but the phones are lit up. Now, wait a minute, you promised me, you know, a 23 share, or you promised me, and it's not there, and they start asking for free ones. And if you make them mad, they're not, you know, I don't know. There's a whole mismatch here, but I love the Today Show is at a 30-year low in the Nielsen's.
Exactly.
Good. And the same thing is true with, I loved it, the All-Star Game, and I'm catching a lot of heat for saying this. It was the second lowest in the history of the All-Star Game. It made me happy. I loved that. And now the Olympics down 49.
I totally agree.
Yeah. That's probably why I love you having on the show. It's great minds thinking alike. But I don't know. And now we come to this. In the middle of the night at Bagram, the American GIs leave and they don't tell the Afghans they're going. What do you do with that, Mr. Spencer?
Well, you know, I remember the immortal words of Barack Obama. Joe will always find a way to screw things up. And I'm all for leaving Afghanistan. As you know, we've discussed this many times.
Yeah.
But to just leave these people we've been working with in the lurch like that, and it reminds me of the people on the roof in Vietnam.
Oh, it was, absolutely.
To capture helicopter.
Absolutely.
You know? And it's just sort of, it's a disgrace.
But it's more, I wrote a column about it, and what's the difference between that and pushing helicopters off of aircraft carriers? Nothing. You know, mm-hmm. And these are these generational, senseless, stupid wars with, you know, I don't even understand the beginning, let alone the end. And now here we are.
Yeah. There was no point to it. There was no goal. There was no purpose. Nothing good came of it, and now even our leaving is a disgrace.
Thank you. So the NATO guys, you know, and the French never went, and we've been through all of that. Central Command is saying there's no plans for all of this, and Joe Biden and said, well, we're going to end all of this, and But the problem that bothers me is these people that want to go back and start another one. I go, wait a minute.
Yeah. Well, this is how they make their money. You know, I'm convinced more and more that this is a profit-making enterprise for powerful people in the United States. Eisenhower said it, military-industrial complex. Trump is the only president to have echoed that. And you see how there was this incredible gang up on him.
No, I loved it. We were talking.
Are we going to get involved again? Sure.
Sure.
We're going to absolutely have more military adventures.
We were talking with a guy, Joe Saunders, and I said, you know, he took one of the ways he took out low energy Jeb was he kept pushing Jeb about why did your brothers get in this war? Why did your brother get into war? And one of the things that he did say, and Trump is right about the Middle East. He's absolutely right about the Middle East. I got problems with Donald Trump now, but he was absolutely right about the Middle East, and he said, we're getting out of here, and we're going to withdraw. But he remember he pushed Jeb in the corner, kept saying, why'd your brother do that? And he had, Jeb Bush had seven different answers, and then he dubbed them low-energy Jeb. And that was it.
And, you know, he tried to withdraw us from Syria, and they lied to him. The military-industrial complex.
They
told him, yeah, we're gone, and we still had people there. How was he going to know? He had to go to Syria and look around? And this was an incredible insubordination, dereliction of duty. This is the president of the United States. These guys are setting policy for the United States. They're just unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats who are arrogating power to themselves that they have no business having and were never given by anyone.
And now Joe Biden is off and on bombing inside of Syria again.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Joe Biden's their man. You know, he is there because they know he'll do their bidding.
When you say that, and I all these years of listening and some travel and reading, I believe everything you just said is true. And this column that I wrote, big deal, but I mentioned Eisenhower's speech and Washington's speeches are the two you have to listen to. And Washington saying foreign entanglement, stay away from these people, and Eisenhower telling you who these people are. And there's a man who, you know, as a driving force in the Second World War and all. But what did President Eisenhower say, Mr. Spencer, as his farewell address?
Well, that was what he was warning about, that there was a military-industrial complex that was working for its own benefit and not for the benefit of the people of the United States, and that this was a tremendous threat to our continuing safety, security, and prosperity that had to be addressed. But he was leaving, so he wasn't going to address it, and nobody addressed it after him until Trump. And Trump tried to end all these military misadventures that we are involved in all over the world, where the media pumps them up and acts as if it's taken for granted that we have the responsibility to take care of every other country in the world and make sure they have good government and a sound, peacefully operating society. And he was the first and only to challenge this assumption.
Absolutely. What do you do with the role of the CIA? I'm going to set up a question. Can you stay through a break?
I just
my cards on the table. I despise the CIA. Tell me what you think about the CIA's role in all of these things that we're talking about. And I'm back rereading Watergate, and I find myself trapped in stuff about how Nixon takes the CIA and turns them on the Americans. I mean, all of this stuff, and I watch it again, and like you said, these guys they were lying to Donald Trump about what they were doing and saying they weren't. Hang on, please. Robert Spencer from Jihad Watch. Summer's here. And maybe looking to expand your outdoor living spaces, Urban Lights is the place to go for your lighting and ceiling fan needs. Ceiling fans are the answer. Urban Lights, the best, the latest in LED lighting, all lit up on display, hundreds of smart Wi-Fi ceiling fans. We had lunch with Dave Nestor Tuesday, we did. And, you know, take your cell phone. It's not a big deal what I did. Take pictures of what you want to replace. And then you take them in and you, and there are salespeople, but they're really designers. And you just go through all the work and the best selections for any room in your home, indoors or out. 20,000 square foot stylized galleries, making it easy to find your personal style. Truly, the Light Lab is interactive. Go to the showroom 7 days a week. Get 40% off on lighting and selected fans and home decor this weekend. You tell them you heard it here, knock another 10. Open 7 days a week south of I-25 on Santa Fe between Florida and Mississippi. UrbanLightsDenver.com, UrbanLightsDenver.com. Tell them I sent you an extra 10%. You can't find a better place. There are guys. Denver, there are Urban Lights. Twenty-five after the hour. It's a Friday, everyone. Weekend programming tomorrow, George Brocker, then Randy. 95 the high today, and some rain coming in tonight. Pretty much the same over the weekend. Robert Spencer is with us on hold, a professional appraisal for valuables that you have tucked away in your basement. You could be sitting on a fortune in cash. My friend is David Ellison, Cherry Creek, top dollar for diamonds and gold, sterling silver, wedding bands, Rolex watches. You need cash on vacation money right now. Instant cash on the spot. David's been buying all of this stuff for decades. I've known him. David offers confidential evaluations on real estate sales, jewelry, precious metals, coins, silver sets, antique items. There's no obligation. A free appraisal, private, confidential, park and walk in. Looking to buy a gift for somebody special, it is there as well. Beautifully newly remodeled, expanded showroom with a black awning, 3rd and Clayton and Cherry Creek, 6 days a week. You need money. If you need money right now, DavidEllisJewelry.com. Take a look, 3rd and Clayton, 303-322-8779, 303-322-8779. 6 days a week, you'll be glad that you did. The one and only Robert Spencer from Jihad Watch. He has been a guest well over 20 years, and he has been spot on. I've never, you know, I can't think of a moment, I was telling him off air, I can't think of a moment where what you said either didn't pan out or wasn't true. What a critique of your work. Why do you think, and I kind of see things through your eyes as well, why do you think we can't miss when we start predicting what these, and I think it gets back to what we talked about before the break, and then tie that to the CIA?
Why do you think that we can't, what? I didn't catch
why we seem to be able to predict what these people are going to do each and every time, and I mean, they're predictable. And
oh, well, because we know their motives, we know their perspectives, we know their goals. They know nothing about our perspective, but theirs is real clear. For example, you might not be hearing from me much longer because the global initiative for counterterrorism, or whatever it's called, mm-hmm. that is a joint effort of Microsoft, Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all of them, they have classified Jihad Watch, my organization, as violent extremism, which is a plain libel, since there's nothing that at no time have we ever in any way advocated or called for or approved of any violence or extremism, for that matter. But in any case, they have to lie to make any case against us. Meanwhile, we know that they are socialist internationalists who are interested in lining their own pockets and destroying borders, destroying the nation state, destroying the whole idea of a nation. And they act very consistently with that. It's very easy to see what they're going to do 5 steps down the road, because they do act consistent with their perspectives.
It's why I brought up the CIA. The CIA has performed the same cutthroat, dishonest policy since they were formed. It isn't like, gee, the CIA really cleaned up its act during Nixon, or the CIA really, I mean, I'm serious as a heart attack. I mean, boy, under the Bushes, that CIA really cleaned it up. they're consistently the advocates for intervention and everything that goes with it. Why is that? Is it part of the, or my answer is myself, it's part of the complex, but what do you say?
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, we were talking about Eisenhower. Truman warned us about the CIA.
Oh, I was just, why'd I do it?
In my book, one book I haven't written about Islam over the last 2 years called Rating America's Presidents. And I give big props to Truman because in the early 60s, he warned about the CIA being this unaccountable and highly secretive organization. There was no way to tell what they were doing, what they were responsible for, what they weren't, and they didn't have to answer to anyone, and that this was an extremely dangerous kind of organization to have in the U.S. government, and there's no actual need for it. Certainly, we need an intelligence organization, but the idea of the secrecy upon secrecy, and, you know, I bet the CIA director doesn't even know all the things that it's involved with, and there's no telling, you know, if the true history of the last 50 years is ever told, I think that it will be full of surprises and enlightening information.
Two presidential regrets. One was Harry Truman regretted creating the CIA, and that was the Dulles brothers. And George Bush, when they asked him after all the insanity of Iraq and Afghanistan and what he had done in the world, and he said he regretted not getting citizenship for illegal immigrants.
Huh.
Think about that.
Yeah. Everybody should come here. Everybody. Why don't we just have the whole world come here?
But,
and you and I, Peter, will work to pay for them.
That's what
they envision.
In that moment with Bush, and I thought all the things that you did, the lies that you told, and the Rumsfeld lies, and what happened with Dick Cheney and Wolfowitz and all Card and all these people, you were able to say this to the media. Your regret was not getting a pathway of citizenship to illegals. And I brought this up, you know, with Barbara Bush, and they called Bandar. They called him Bandar Bush. And they said Bill Clinton was their brother. And I thought that was a telling moment as well. It ties back into this question of why do they continue and how can they continue to do these things?
Bill Clinton was whose brother? Who said this?
Barbara Bush said Bill Clinton is our brother. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you remember those pictures of George W. Bush and Michelle Obama being incredibly affectionate. I'm not suggesting anything untoward.
Oh, I know.
They're obviously very close friends.
They iced Trump.
George W. Bush never said a word during 8 years of Obama, but he certainly started up again with Trump. It's clear that there's one big party in Washington, and the Bushes and the Obamas and the Clintons are all part of it. And then there's Trump, and that's why they hate him so and why they ganged up on him.
And they iced him in that church. Remember, he was like getting Chiclets or something out of her purse, and he was President Trump then, and he walked in. They iced him. You can see them ice him. I mean, everything you say. And there were the trifecta there. There was W, and there was the Obamas, and then there was the Clintons. But I look at these things. I try and get up, and this is what makes you so great. Robert Spencer's here. You get up to 25,000 feet and look down, and you can't tell the difference.
I'm not sure what you're referring to now.
Well, if I can jump from the presidency of this guy, from Bill Clinton, to the presidency of George W. Bush, I can't really see a difference. Can you?
Oh, no. It's all one policy, one establishment, one perspective. The big threat of Trump was that he was an outsider. He was not part of this club. And this whole idea of Democrat versus Republican, what we have learned since 2016 is that it's been a big charade all along. Yeah. That maybe there was some time when there was genuine opposition, but for the last few decades, it's been controlled opposition. It's been essentially the same perspective, the same policies, the same people involved in both. I mean, who is the defense secretary for Bush and Obama? Gates.
Yeah.
So they
yeah.
didn't see the need to change defense secretaries because it was the same defense policy.
And they had to finally, Rumsfeld had to, in disgrace, resign. Else he'd have probably kept on the job, too. I mean, when Rumsfeld died and the things that were said what a wonderful man Rumsfeld. Rumsfeld's a villain. Rumsfeld, in another time, another place, would have stood trial for what he did. And you're right. I mean, when finally it was so bad, the lies were so deep and entrenched that Rumsfeld had to resign. And you got Gates, who continued right with Barack Obama, correct?
Yep. And that's just because it's all the big same uniparty.
How do you break
the one-party state? How do you, and nobody admits it.
So now,
how did we break it?
Yeah.
It's breaking now. Trump was a big step toward breaking it. Now, there's no doubt. I think he was too soft, you know, in many ways. He did not stand up as much as he should have to the establishment. On the other hand, he and the rest of us were just discovering how extensive and entrenched this establishment is. And so maybe it wasn't possible for him to go farther. But now we know. It's all out in the open.
But who do you see? Who's in the wings? I mean, who do you watch?
Oh, well, you know, everybody says DeSantis in Florida, and I think he's certainly standing up to the media and standing up to this the CDC business, and that's all to the good. Maybe he will end up being the guy. But the thing is, it's not going to matter unless we can have free elections. And we can't have free elections if they can keep cheating without any accountability. And so if that's not addressed, then it really doesn't matter who's on the scene and who isn't. Yeah, they're going to retain power no matter what.
And I would disagree with you about the election, but all of it now has come to this point. Is it gone too far and it can't come back, or can it come back?
Well, I'm not talking about 2020. You know, you say you disagree with me about the election, and that's fair enough.
All right.
But I'm talking about widespread voter fraud, which I think there's abundant reason to believe is in place. Mm. And that if that is not addressed, then there's not responsible procedures put in place for making sure that the elections have integrity, then we're done for now.
I've read all the cases, and I've watched all the stuff, and that's where I parted with Donald Trump, is that you got to show, historians say, they call them the receipts. You got to show the receipts. And they haven't been able to do that. And so, and that's what spins us off into another level. And I agree with you, the things that you said about, you know, Donald Trump served them up, and they attacked Trump and they hated Trump. And I agree with all of that. And Trump's policy in the Middle East were the most clear policies since before Jack Kennedy. But the other part of it, it's tough for me.
Well, that's the thing, that he threatened the establishment.
Yeah.
And that is why they had to destroy him.
I mean, they, without, I mean, he, you know, served it up, and they sold the rope and they hang him. And I don't know, Mr. Spencer, you've been such a great guest all these years, and you think to yourself, and I've always turned to you. What are we facing in the next couple of years in terms of, first of all, just Middle East policy and foreign policy?
Well, I think that what we're facing basically is that the left is now trying to foreclose on all dissent and shut down anyone who opposes their agenda and criminalize dissent ultimately. And that is the great challenge that we face today. The power of the social media giants and the power of the leftist establishment has to be broken, or we will not have a free society anymore.
How do we do it? I mean, I agree with what you're saying, but how do we do it? How's it done?
Well, you know, if I had the answer to that, I guess I would be in a far better position than I am. I mean, like I said, I've been classified as a violent extremist, which is plainly and clearly libelous, but I don't know that I have much recourse. These people don't allow for appeal, you know?
I truly am. I'm stumped. And if you get a moment, I wrote a column, and it's, you can go to our website, 710KNUS/Peter Boyles, and hit the columns. And I talked about the cry of the hawk. And since I'm a little kid, the United States has been in these generational, there's not words in these wars. And we saw the helicopters pushed off the aircraft carriers, and then we see American GIs leaving at night. And the same people. Now I hear them say, well, we have to go confront Putin, or we have to take on the Chinese, or now we have to take on
the— We would lose. A war with China, a war with Russia, we would lose pretty quickly.
Yeah.
with this silly woke military that's more concerned about discovering systemic racism than it is about fighting wars. Not a chance. It would be embarrassing.
So, I mean, there's a sadness to this, a great sadness. All these fine young men and women, all the money. God knows how many Arabs are dead. Nobody knows anything about anything anymore. And Roger, Roger's coming out of the newsroom. Something's going on. There you are.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Peter. Just got news that former governor Dick Lamb passed away.
Oh, no.
Age of 85.
Oh, what a good guy.
We're still getting all the details,
that's
breaking. Dick Lamb, dead at the age of 85.
Wow, Mr. Spencer, we had a governor here who was, thank you so much, Roger. Thank you, Roger. We had a governor here by the name of Dick Lamb that was a one of a kind, and he was a good friend, and he was one of, was writing about, out of DU, about the threats in the Middle East, and they wouldn't publish him, back to your point. And he was writing about Islam and writing about U.S. foreign policy, and they would he was on a faculty and they wouldn't publish him. So, your thoughts?
Well, I'm not surprised. The foreign policy establishment is not just limited to the wonks who are setting policy in Washington, but you go to Foreign Policy magazine, you go to all the major publications about this. And they all have the same perspective as well. You can't have a dissenting voice and get any traction in that crowd.
All right. As always, when I leave you, and the truth that you always tell, and now they're leaving Iraq and they're leaving Afghanistan, and you ask yourself why.
Well, I'm all for their leaving, as you know, but it's just being
I agree.
Once again, criminally mishandled, and
that doesn't
surprise me at all either. As a matter of fact,
thank you for everything and all the times and everything you've done. We'll talk again a couple weeks, Mr. Spencer. What's the website again for folks? We lost him. Sorry. All right, it's Jihad Watch. This is a website. It's 19 before the hour, and if you own a home, you could be paying a lot less for it right now. It's true. The Federal Housing Finance Agency has decided to eliminate major refi fees, which means your next refi could be even cheaper. Essentially, be able to save $500 on every $100,000 borrowed, and you pair that with historically low rates we're seeing. It's a good reason to get a free mortgage review from American Financing. I mean, there's no obligation, no pressure, no upfront fees, no hidden fees. Simple conversation around your current loan and options that'll fit you better. Save you $1,000 a month. It's like a pay raise. 12 grand a year. Think of what you can do with that money. American Financing. Call American today, 303-695-7000. 303-695-7000. Apply online, AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334. Regulated by the Division of Real Estate. Billy? Hi, Jam Lines. It's 8:48, 12 before the hour. The weekend begins. Stefan this afternoon. We got rain in the cast, and Dick Lamb's gone. He was a good guy, and he would do the radio show with us all the time, and we would sit and talk, and he was a brilliant man, and, everybody has their time, and Dick's is now come and gone, but just a good, good guy. We'll see who we can get on the radio show on Monday. I'm thinking different people to ask him about the life and times of Dick Lamb. Make something clear, this seven-month fight. And I read you an email that's meant as a critique, but it isn't. You always resort to a history lesson. Yeah. History, the study of history is this remarkable gift that you can have for free. And that's a bad thing to do, according to the texter. Historians call something receipts. You got to be able to show something. And for all of these attempts, there's been no receipt. There's been no one come forward and say, I did it. And so believe what you want to believe, but historians and I think smart people at least are asking for the receipts of what you're charging people with. We go to Stephen on the radio. Say, Stephen, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Peter.
Hey.
I'm calling to give you super props.
Where are you? Hang up on this guy, Billy.
anyway, I want to give you super kudos on the election coverage.
Yeah.
You're 100% correct. There are receipts, but the receipts are against Trump.
Yeah.
You've got at least 60 lawsuits.
More than
at
that.
Least.
More than, of, more than that.
Many of the judges he appointed.
Yes.
So that's mega one, and I know you're on an island over there.
That's okay.
The other one is I want to give you major kudos on the vaccine. And you're a historian. You know full well in World War II, country had to make major sacrifices.
Sure.
Now, I'm not comparing the two, but there's definitely harm to the populace.
And this the Delta variant last night, and on the newscast, they said chickenpox, which may be a more appropriate, but these physicians are saying this stuff is more contagious than Ebola. You know, and we're in a world of silliness right now. We're living in a world between two sets of lies. And, you know, with respect, if I thought that Donald Trump had won this thing, but, I could, as I said to my boss, you want me to go on the air and go in and lie? I can do that. And I can't. I mean, I just, it's not part of it. But you have to have what historians call is receipts, you know, meaning you bought that car. You know, and it's always interesting in the Kennedy assassination, you know, it's always where the receipts. It's wonderful. I'm drawn to it, to read about it. But you have to have receipts. And all of these states, and we're down to this Arizona thing, that Donald Trump wouldn't contribute a nickel to the attempts. And it's been taken apart, and Republicans are laughing at it. And, you know, but to people that listen and say things, it makes sense, but it doesn't. So I appreciate what you said. I don't know how you got on the air, but I appreciate you saying it. We're in a quandary right now, and each and every time the ability to defend the Trump one position is being erased and eradicated, and eventually it, like a religion, will stand alone. Your final thoughts?
Well, I just think you're doing a great job, and the anti-vaxxers, there's no goal line there.
No.
There's nothing to be gained by being a champion and encouraging people not to take it. You know, science
once
changes.
Again,
this is a deadly thing.
It seriously could, this virus could morph again, and it could then go back into the reservoir like MERS did, or it could become stronger. I don't know, and the people that I really respect, say anybody, whether a talk show host or a news on air someplace or a politician who tells you that they know what's going to happen is telling you a lie. No one knows.
I want to give you one quick thing and I'll go. Years ago, you talked about on air about this pool hall in Pittsburgh when you were growing up. And I immediately identified with it. Because when I was growing up, and we had a pool hall in this little town, and it was like Las Vegas for kids. You know, you went in there and
working
saw
a pool
all
room.
The cool
yeah.
guys.
Oh, yeah.
The old guys would be up there drinking beer. It was just the greatest thing.
I love it.
Anyway, love your show.
You're kind.
Have a great weekend.
All right, man. As we leave you, maybe Rachel Maddow can sub for you. If you dare ask the question, then you immediately become them. And that's precisely what the left does. When you look in the mirror, as Lacar said in The Looking Glass, when you look in, you'll see yourself. As you heavily critique the Antifa people, as you look into that mirror, you will see yourself looking back. The fact that you would even ask a question, you become Rachel Maddow. Or if you ask a question and you answer it with a history lesson, there's something wrong with you. And it's very sad, but it is what it is. Take care of yourselves. The kicks off tomorrow morning with George and then Randy's show. And Stefan is this afternoon, and I'll see you Monday morning at 5 and the loss of Dick Lamb. He was a really good man. See you guys. Take care of yourselves. Billy Thorpe, thanks for a good week. One more once, everybody. See you Monday.